Listening Library presents The Underdogs of Ups and Downs by Craig Sylvie. Read for you by Genevieve Hegney.
For Claire, C.S. For Max, S.A. Meet Annie. Annie Shearer lives in the town of Ups and Downs. She is 11 years old and short for her age. She has brown hair and brown eyes. She lives on a sheep farm with her parents, Brian and Susie, her brother Max, and her grandma, Dolly. People in Ups and Downs think Annie is a bit different. They think it's odd that they have never seen her laugh, even though she is often quite happy. They think it's strange that they've never seen her cry, even though she is sometimes quite sad. They think it's weird that she wears an old leather tool belt wherever she goes, even though Annie finds it useful having so many pockets to store items that can be used to fix things. They worry that she must be lonely because she spends so much time by herself. But Annie quite enjoys her own company. And besides, she has a very special friend. He is a dog, and his name is Runt. Annie knows she is a bit different, but she doesn't think she's odd or strange or weird. The truth is, everybody is unique. No two people are the same. Even identical twins can have different interests, and it makes the world a more interesting place. Annie enjoys reading about exotic creatures with hidden talents. For example, in the darkest depths of the ocean, there's a fish with a glowing torch poking out of its head. It's called an anglerfish. In the forests of Australia, there's a bird that can mimic perfectly any sound that it hears. It's called a lyrebird. And in Africa, there's a frog that lives in a bubble of its own snot. It's called an African bullfrog. And in Ups and Downs, there is Runt. Runt can't mimic any sounds. He doesn't have a torch sprouting from his head. And he doesn't live in a bubble of snot. But his hidden talents are extraordinary. Right now, Annie is at school. It's a very hot Tuesday afternoon, and Ms. Formsby is teaching the class about storms. She points to a chart displaying the water cycle. And so the vapour rises way up into the sky, where it collects and condenses into these dark clouds. And when it gets too heavy to hold on any longer, it falls back down, which is commonly referred to as what? Ms. Formsby fans herself with a sheet of paper and looks at her students expectantly. Only one hand goes up. It is Annie's. Ken Bash, in the back corner, is asleep. Ken, mind answering this one? Ken startles awake, sits up straight, and looks around as though he's surprised to be there. He squints and guesses. 375? The class giggles as Ms. Formsby sighs.
No, Ken. Maths was this morning, mate. The answer is rain. Rain is what falls from the sky.
Thank you. Ken isn't finished.
But 375 is the amount of days since it's rained in Ups and Downs. I heard my dad say it this morning.
Is that really true? Asks Ms. Formsby.
Yes,
the whole class says together.
It's awful,
says Claudia Valua, who thinks it's important to be beautiful.
I'm only allowed to wash my hair once a month.
What do you mean, wash your hair?
Asks Fiona Grudge, who couldn't care less about being beautiful.
My mum reckons if the drought goes on much longer, we might have to sell our farm,
says Dustin Brayshaw.
Mine said that too. Mine too.
We just sold our place, says Ben Nguyen quietly. We're moving to the city to live with my auntie and uncle. I don't really want to go.
Everyone feels bad for Ben, including Annie, who is in the back row tightening a loose screw on the chair in front of her. Fixing things is Annie's hidden talent. If something is wrong, she wants to make it right. But some problems are so tricky that it's not clear how to solve them, or they're so large that the solution doesn't fit in her tool belt, like the drought, for example, or the fact that her family might lose their home too. A car horn interrupts the class. Everyone goes quiet. The horn honks again. Annie?
Annie!
Outside, Brian Shearer has parked his ute on the grass beside the classroom. He is a big man with square shoulders and a round beard. Ms. Formsby pokes her head out of the window.
Mr. Shearer, there are less disruptive ways to collect your daughter. I recommend the car park in the main entrance after the final bell.
It's an emergency.
Again? This is the third time this month.
Can't be helped, I'm afraid.
He honks the horn again. In the classroom, Annie has already returned the screwdriver to her tool belt and packed her school bag. She moves swiftly towards the door.
Sorry, Miss Formsby, she says. I've already done my homework. It's on your desk.
Annie runs down the hall, through the main doors, and rushes to get into the ute. Because there's a problem, and only she can fix it. With Runt's help, of course. Ups and Downs. Brian drives through the main street of Ups and Downs. They pass empty storefronts with window banners that say, for sale, or for lease. They pass Patel's Petals, the florist, Raylene's Relics, the antique store. They pass the bank, the butcher, and the newsagent. They pass the Golden Fleece, the only pub left in town. They pass the abandoned town hall and the deserted railway station. They pass the Big Ram, a giant statue fallen into disrepair. It has a broken horn and a missing eye. A sign beneath it says, "Thank you for visiting." But nobody visits anymore. For more than 100 years, Ups and Downs was busy and thriving, home to thousands of people and thousands more sheep. Ups and Downs was famous for producing the finest wool in the world. The luxurious fleece was praised by Parisian designers and prized by tailors on London's Savile Row. The vast plains and valleys were kept green by the deep rivers and creeks that ran through it. It was a beautiful, vibrant place full of wildlife and wildflowers. There were restaurants and festivals and dance halls and sporting clubs. There were stockyards and bake sales and charity events. People poured in from all across the country, and Ups and Downs welcomed them all. Then everything was ruined by one man. Brian's rickety ute rattles along a single-lane road. Around them are brown paddocks with tufts of dry grass.
Sorry to come and grab you early again, Brian says.
It's okay.
Hope I didn't interrupt anything too interesting.
We were learning about storms.
Oh, yeah? Could do with a few of those. You know, your grandpa Wally studied them too at one point. I remember him talking about a harebrained scheme to make his own rain clouds.
Annie turns to look at him, interested.
Really?
Yeah. It was all about attracting lightning. Something about electrical currents positively charging water droplets to make them heavier. I couldn't make any sense of it. He was a deep thinker, as you know, had a lot of wild ideas.
Did he write it down?
Not sure. I wouldn't pay it much attention, though, mate, says Brian.
It's too late. Annie is intrigued. Brian pulls up outside the Shearer's old timber farmhouse, bringing a cloud of dust behind him. And there, sitting in the shade beside a timber doghouse, is Runt. Runt is 3 years old and short for his age. He has brown fur and brown eyes. Annie doesn't know what breed he is. Maybe Kelpie, maybe Heeler, maybe Shepherd, maybe Terrier. Maybe all of them, maybe none of them. Annie doesn't really care. He's just Runt, and that's all that matters. Brian winds the window down and whistles.
Come on, Runt, get in.
The dog doesn't move.
Come on, mate, in you get.
Runt doesn't budge. Brian turns to Annie. He smiles and winks.
Always worth a try, he says.
Annie's mother Susie and her grandma Dolly both appear outside. Dolly coughs and waves away the last of the dust with a greasy rag. She wears a pair of blue denim overalls and a flannel shirt with the sleeves rolled up. She has short grey hair and brown leather boots.
The dog won't listen to you, Brian, you absolute melon. Go and get Annie.
I'm here, Grandma.
Dolly stoops and squints into the ute.
Ah, so you are.
They haven't got out again, have they? Susie asks.
Afraid so.
Brian climbs out of the ute, leaving the door open, and shoos Susie and Dolly away.
Quick, back into the house.
Susie, Dolly and Brian all retreat and hide.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?